Good to see all your smiling faces, and I'm thankful for the opportunity, for your prayers for me, and for your presence today. I'm thankful that we serve an unchangeable God, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have the prophecies and the scriptures, as they've been recorded in the scriptures, of the plan of salvation, of the coming forth of Jesus Christ and the perfect plan that the God had after Adam and Eve fell and they were taken away from the presence of God, and that would have been for eternity until if it hadn't been for the fact that He had a better plan, an infinite sacrifice, even in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived on earth and allowed Himself to be put on a cross and crucified, suffered for us and our sins, but rose again. And by the power of His resurrection, we too will rise in the future and stand before God to be judged according to our works. So I am always amazed when I read the scriptures of the perfect plan of that unchangeable God. And the fact that He's told us that is that He will prophesy of all things to happen in the last days. You know, we read in the scriptures in the book of Genesis, and about 4,000 years ago, there was a man by the name of Abram who said he was a friend of God, or they said he was a friend of God because of his faithfulness. And he believed God and did what God told him. God told him to move somewhere, he moved somewhere. Okay? Anything that God told him, he believed him. He entertained God's angels when he came into his tent, and he knew it was them. So we're going to talk a little bit about Abraham and the promise that and a covenant that the Lord made. I have this book at home, and it's an old book. My copy isn't old. It was written a long time ago, but it was 1902 by a man by the name of A.J. Allen, and it's called Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright, and it tells that story, and within that book, he talks about the lost tribes of Israel and where he thinks they are and how they're all connected and everything and God's plan. So I'm going to read part of the introduction to that. Behold, my covenant is with, he's talking to Abraham, okay? And he says, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. This is God talking to Abraham. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but the name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. He goes on and tells us that although it's not generally in this book, although it is not generally known, it is nevertheless true that God made two covenants with Abraham. Or rather, that he made one with Abram and another with the same man after he changed his name to Abraham. This change of name was made that it might harmonize with the new character and new order of things that pertain to the covenant. So it goes on and says the first, or Abraham covenant, was made when the man was 98 years old. But the second, or Abraham covenant, was not made until this man was called upon to make the great sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of his life. The text of these first covenants is as follows. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the mighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more be called Abram, But thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an exceeding everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That's taken from Genesis in the 17th chapter. You know, here we find that Abraham is 99 years old, you know, and he makes this covenant. And, you know, part of that was the fact that his wife was barren, and she was an old woman, and, you know, he said she was going to have a child, and, you know, they kind of laughed, you know, how can that be? But God, when he has a plan, fulfills it always according to his will, doing mighty miracles, having an elderly people bear children, you know. It's just a small amount what he's doing. And he's talking here in the scriptures, testify that God's plan was to bless Abraham and his family and his descendants, the house of Israel, all 12 tribes of them. And in the end times, he was going to gather them together. And they were going to be his people. These are people that are scattered among the nations of the earth, and many of them don't know they're even of the house of Israel. They were scattered, you know, 700 years before Christ. But nations of Israel became two nations, 900 B.C., and you know, they kind of didn't get along together, but God was going to bring them together, and all, he was going to gather their people that had been scattered by the Somebody say that for me. Babylon Empire, thank you, of Assyria in 700 B.C. And they were taken and sent out, it said, to the isles of the sea, lost. They lost their heritage. They lost who they were. You know, just a few of them knew it. You know, we know that the Jews know who they are. And we know who Joseph is, one of the 12 tribes. But, you know, there were many others. You know, there were 10 others that seemed to be lost in the isles of the sea. But God is going to draw them back. And it's prophesied in the scriptures. And we of the Church of Christ have a part in this. And we're thankful for these prophecies. And I'm going to read from Ezekiel 36. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled me by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury out upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and the idols when they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered in unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of this land, but I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, wherever they went. They went up... They turned from their God. They practiced, you know, abominable things and had idols and whatever. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen. And he goes on here, you know, and he talks about he's going to gather them and... His spirit will be with him, and they'll follow him and his judgments and statutes and do that. And they will have to repent of their sins. They will be to the, brought to the knowledge of the sins and who they are, and they will have to repent of them. Malachi says, for it says in 3, and again in 3, Nephi 11, 9, for I am the Lord, I change not. Just he has promised him, he will, Israel, he gathers, you know, that he'll gather them in the last days in the prophecies. He keeps his promise. Just as he keeps his promise to us, that if we'll repent of our sins and be baptized and endure the end, we'll have eternal life. We have to have a sanctified heart. We have to come with a heart like Abraham had, to do the will of God, to believe him. We have to place God first in our life. We have to be prepared to represent him among the nations of the earth. We have to study the scriptures. We have to do what God wills us to do. We read in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord, and he sent me down in the midst of a valley full of bones. I told my grandkids this morning I was going to preach about dry bones. I was going to talk about, you know, the house of Israel. You know, I was a kid, my parents sang a song, and them bones going to walk around them. I won't sing it. It talks about the ankle bone going on, going all the way up to your head. And but what that was unbeknownst to me, it was a prophecy that God had made many years ago to his descendants of Abraham, that he would bless them, that they'd become many nations, that they would be scattered among them, but he would gather them together. So here it says, the Lord saith, Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you and bring you flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put a breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. For I prophesied as I commanded, and I prophesied that there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. That's that story that we talked about. He goes on and says, then he said unto me, son of man, this is God talking to Ezekiel. He said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say that our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off with all our parts. They didn't even know who they were. Therefore, he prophesied unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought up to you out of the graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that the Lord hath spoken and performed it. Thus saith the Lord. You know, some of this is past events. A lot of it, most of it, is future events yet to come. And God fulfills promises. It goes on in the 13th chapter and talks about the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph. You know, these two scriptures. You know, that they were going to be together. They were going to be responsible and bring about that restoration of the house of Israel. These books and the purposes of and the fullness of the gospel is supposed to be preached among the nations, and it is being preached among the nations of the world today by the Church of Christ. The fullness of the gospel. Two records. The mouth of two or three witnesses, all things were going to be established. God's words were going to come back to him vain. He was going to fulfill them, and that's his promise. And we're a part of that, every one of us. And there's a need for us to have some understanding of those prophecies. More importantly, to prepare ourselves to be the light unto the world. And it says, I'm not going to read that, but yeah, I will. The word of the Lord shall come unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, and take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. See, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto you, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. They were going to see those records, the time in the future, time that's actually taking place right now. And say unto you, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from the heathen, wherever they be gone, and gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places when they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall be one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe all statutes, and do them, and they will dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell there, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Future event. Talking about Jesus Christ. Talking about the gathering. Talking about them being as one people and having one king over there, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What a wonderful promise. What a blessing that the Lord chose to do for his will. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and set my sanctuary in the midst of them evermore. My tabernacle shall also be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary should be in the midst of them forevermore. God bringing forth the restoration of the book of the house of Israel. He's saying he's going to be there. There's going to be a sanctuary. There's going to be a temple there. He's talking about the gathering of the people and of Zion and of the new Jerusalem being starting here in Independence that we believe in, the Jerusalem old again being a holy city of the Lord. Two places of refuge for God's people. Their lands of Israel and Canaan is going to be given to these people that don't even know who they are at this point. He's going to change the empires of the world. He's going to change the hearts of the kings, the emperors, the dictators, whoever we know, and here in the news. It's all going to be done away with when he bears his holy arm. Do you believe it? We got to believe it. We got to have an understanding of it. We have to have that hope. God is in charge of all things. And he's able to do all things. We read, you remember the story in the Book of Mormon when Lehi sent his sons back into Jerusalem to pick up the records of Laban, the brass plates. Well, in the sixth chapter of 1 Nephi, he's explaining to his brothers what was in those brass plates. And in the seventh chapter, he's reading this in verses 6 through 30. He's explaining to his brothers, he said, "For it appears that the house of Israel sooner or later will be scattered among all the faces of the earth and also among the nations." Now you got to remember that way back in Genesis, God gave blessings to all 12 of the tribe. You know, and Israel did to his sons. And he gave Joseph a special blessing, this land. You know, and they all got their parcels of land in the Middle East that they were going to get in the land of Canaan, and they will have them in the future. They haven't had them. But now, here in the Book of Mormon, they're talking before this actually happened, probably 100 years, you know. But they had the records of Ezekiel and Isaiah, and prophesied these things. And so now he's explaining that to his brothers, Nephi is. And it says, "And behold, there are many which are already lost from the knowledge of they which are at Jerusalem." Already they are lost. "Yea, the more part of the tribes have been led away, and they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whether they are, none of us know, save that we know that they have been led away. And since they have been led away, these things have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all that which shall hereafter be scattered and confounded because of the Holy One of Israel." Who's that? Jesus Christ. "For against him will they harden their hearts. Wherefore they shall be scattered among all nations and shall be hated of all men. Nevertheless, they are they that have nursed." "Nevertheless, after they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord lifted up his hand unto the Gentiles and set them up for a standard, and the children shall be carried away in their arms, and the daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, behold, these things of which have spoken are temporal, for they are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. And it meaneth us in the days to come, and also our brethren, which are of the house of Israel." So here they have another witness to that in another continent unknown to the two people unknown to each other. God's plan. Then Nephi goes on and he says, "And it meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel has been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation unto the Gentiles, even upon the face of this land." Talking about the North American continent. Talking about America. God's plan. In his infinite wisdom, he had prepared a place for Joseph, the descendants of Joseph. That in the last days, the descendants of Joseph, just like Joseph of old saved his family out of starvation and they had to come to Egypt. In the last days, Joseph would have the opportunity to bring about the restoration of the whole house of Israel. And by them, this continent was going to scatter the Nephi's seed, the Lamanites. And we did that in the 1800s. We ripped them out of wherever they were and moved them across country. Did these despicable things to them. "And after that our seed shall be scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which will be great worth unto thy seed, unto our seed." That great work that the Lord was going to do was the restoration of the Church of Christ, was the renewing of, or bringing the authority to represent Christ back to earth, renewing the spiritual gifts that were forgotten and not practiced, not available for 1,260 years. By bringing the authority to represent Christ back, by bringing this book, the Book of Mormon, in the fullness of the gospel. Wherefore, this great marvelous thing and the bringing forth of all these things goes on, Nephi says, wherefore it is likened to their being nourished by the Gentiles and being carried in their arms upon the, on the soldiers. He's saying that previous prophecy is being fulfilled by the Church of Christ, bringing forth these works, and by the power and authority being restored to earth. And so it's also of great worth unto the Gentiles, and not only unto the Gentiles, but unto the house of Israel, unto making known of the covenant which the Father of heaven unto Abraham, and saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And so we find that when the church was restored, the miraculous things, once again, the power and authority was present, and the gifts of the Spirit were present, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Those things were done away with and weren't practiced and were unheard of. Now they're common knowledge among the people of this nation. All things to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're to pray for the spiritual gifts. We're to pray for the fruit of the Spirit and for love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. Are we ready? The Lord wants us to prepare to be part of this great work. We need to sanctify our hearts and be obedient and put God first in our life. And Nephi is going on here. And he said, I would, my brethren, that you should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arms in the eyes of all natures. Nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations and bring about his covenants and his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. They're going to be preached to. Wherefore he bring them again out of captivity, and they shall gather together in the lands of their first inheritance, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. And they know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And that's happening, in fact, in this country and the countries of the world. And the blood of that great abominable church is the whore of all the earth, shall be turned upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hands shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, will be turned one to another. They shall fall into the pit which they had digged to ensnare the people of the world. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. But the scriptures say the righteous need not fear, for he will protect the righteous. So there's all this activity is talking about in the prophecies, and some of it's happening already, and some of it is, it's imminent. It's going to happen. God made a promise to Abraham. He fulfills all his promises, and he does the same today. We read in 1 Nephi in the 4th chapter, in that day shall the remnant of our seed shall know who they are. They are of the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know they come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also the knowledge of the gospel of the Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. where therefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock and their salvation? So, here's Nephi talking to his brothers in something like 570 AD or something, or BC. And he's telling his wayward brothers that, you know, he was already telling them to shape up. And, you know, he's talking about, will there not come unto the true fold of God? But I hold, I say unto you, they shall be remembered again among the house of Israel. And they shall be grafted in, being a natural branch of the olive tree, into the true olive tree. And this is what our Father meaneth. He meaneth that it will not come to pass till after they are scattered among the Gentiles. He meaneth that it shall come by way of the Gentiles, that the Lord may show his power unto the Gentiles for the very cause that he shall be rejected. That he be rejected of the Jews or of the house of Israel. Wherefore our Father hath not spoken of our seed alone, but also of the house of Israel, pointing to the covenant which shall be fulfilled in the latter day. So we have these things stated in the Bible, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, of these prophecies. And we see that today these events are starting to take place. The Book of Mormon says when our people are taught that they're of the house of Israel, you'll know that the gathering has begun to commence. It's already started. We have the in Joseph Smith's time, that he sent missionaries in the fields of the Native Americans here in this con. We have early apostles in the 1920s and 30s, B.C. Flint, Clarence Wheaton in Yucatan, and Brother Don McIndoo, and now Jay, and the work that they're doing there. And, you know, there's a wonderful story there. And you know, you can read in your outline history, you know, the number two, I guess. But anyway, on page 196, 197. And this is a treasure to us. This is when Clarence and Angela went down into Mexico, into the Mayan territory for the first time in 1950-51. You know, and one of the men that heard the story that Sarah stated, this is a treasure. And there was I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Boy, I had it written. Mimincio Xu, who was born in 1807. He was either the last Mayan king or the son of the last Mayan king. When he heard the story of 3 of Nephi 5 of Christ coming to the Americas, first appearance of Jesus Christ here in America, and he heard that story, and he said, "This is our story." He held this book and he told his people, "This is our record. This is the record that has been passed down by mouth. This is the record that the Black robe priests. Who said that? Thank you. Black robe priests burned in 1565. And they passed it down from mouth to mouth since then. He recognized it and acknowledged it to the Mayan people. This is the record that our forefathers talked about and knew and preached. This is a great trick. This book is ours. What a wonderful blessing. And it says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things will be established. He keeps his promise. His words will not return to him void. What an awesome God. That's part of the heritage of the Church of Christ. That's written in our history that has been recently been published. An event. And we know that, you know, since that time, other things have happened. You know, I'm going to rehearse a couple of them, you know, out of history. 1917. I already know our brother knows what I'm going to say. The Balfour Declaration was made where British government, I'm trying to think of who it was, Balfour, but he was Secretary of State or something, made it during World War I, announced the support for establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. It was then in Ottawa, in the Ottoman region, but a small minority of Jewish population. Israel was to be given a homeland. 1948, that became a fact. I think it was the League of Nations, where Israel was, Judah was given a homeland there in Israel. You know, it ought to be called Judah, but it's called the Nation of Israel today. But it's only 1/12 of our 20% of it, I guess. There's a couple of the others there. And, you know, and besides that, and that great work there in Mexico. We have the work in this nation of Native American among the Cherokee, the Mohawk, the Navajo, and the countries of the world, the Isles of the Sea. In the sixth chapter of Ether, in Third Nephi 9 and 10, it talks about the gathering, the building up of Zion, a holy city and a sanctuary unto the Lord. And we are invited to be participants. And we're invited to repent of our sins and be baptized and be a light unto the Gentiles and the house of Israel. It's imminent. Are we ready? It's going to happen. It's happening. It's among us. What a wonderful promise. We have a need to read the prophecies of Isaiah. Pray about the Lord, how the Lord might want, will be able to use us. How we might be able to teach and to be an example of the hope we have in that day and the gathering of Lord's people. We need to pray for the will of God, what he desires of us, that we might prepare ourselves for that time. It's imminent. We're a part of it. It's already happening. There will be a gathering of Israel. Do we believe in Zion and the gathering? We state we believe it. Do we understand it? Do we really believe that those things are happening? You know, we look in a prophecy and a prophesied of the coming, the birth of Jesus Christ. And it happened. We look at the and we see that he was going to prophesy that he was going to be crucified, and he was going to raise again. Do we believe that? Yes, because we had the prophecies, and now it's a fact. But he's coming again. He says that's still a future prophecy, and he's going to do a mighty work, the Holy One of Israel. And God is going to bear his holy arm and bring about miracles that we can't even fathom. How minds of men are going to be changed. That their hearts are going to be changed and sanctified. And there's going to be a great upheaval of righteousness in the world to put down the darkness and the things of Satan. And those that fight against Zion are going to be destroyed. Or they're going to be converted. And they're all going to have to come to Jesus Christ and be part of the Church of Christ in the final fulfillment of the time and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on earth for 1,000 years. A temple's going to be built up at the temple lot. And it's going to be a gathering of the place of Zion in this part of the country, in this part of the world. And we don't have any idea how that's going to be accomplished. That seems totally impossible to me. But I believe it because God has stated it. Because the scriptures testify it, that the Lord has testified these things just as he testified that he was going to do a marvelous work and a wonder just before the latter day rains came back to Lebanon. Coming forth of the Church of Christ, coming forth of the Book of Mormon, we have those things in front of us to prove that these prophecies are true and they're going to come to pass, and it's imminent. And so we have an understanding, we have a need to believe it, to study it, to be able to explain it to others, to our kids. You know, in the Book of Commandments, in the 10th chapter, it was written in 1831. Joseph Smith had a revelation from God to call a man into the to repentance and baptism and send him in to preach. I'm going to try to read. Thou shalt preach the fullness of my gospels, which I have sent forth in the last days, the covenant which I have sent forth to discover my, to recover my people, where art thou, house of Israel. Back that soon, that was a beginning by the, under the commandment of God. We're to preach it, we're to exhort it, we're to believe it, we're to explain it, we're to teach it, and we're to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In 1 Peter in 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Place God first in our hearts. Make God holy and first. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to place God in our first in our hearts and be prepared to give an answer to every man that asks us the hope that is in us. We might be talking to somebody of the house of Israel that knows not their descent. We don't know. But we know that we're commanded to do those things in the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. Be prepared to give a reason of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Ask God for his will in our life. What is it that he has for us to do? We're to be of a pure heart and mind and labor to bring about Zion to fulfill those prophecies. He's calling on us. He's called us out of the world. Every one of us are sitting here today for his purpose. Something in our life that he has done to present us here. I believe this local congregation has a special task in that. In these last days, in doing that, I believe that, you know, just like the temple lot is up there, I believe that. I believe that all the congregations of the Lord's church in the world, that he's got a purpose. There's a reason we're there. There's a reason that somehow that the Lord touched hearts many years ago to bring about his work. And we have an awesome task, an awesome God. And he calls us, and he tells us to sanctify our heart. Separate ourselves from the things of the world, not get caught up in them. Don't put ourselves in positions that we can't serve him when he calls us. Make sure we have time to serve him, that we're numbered among the saints and the righteous, that we know our scriptures, that we're continuing praying, that we have repented of our sins, that we have been baptized, and that we endure to the end, and that we send that message to the nations of the world. May God bless us in our effort.
Hey, thank you, Brother Buzz. You know, a strong message to stay, take with us. You know, do we put God first in our hearts? You know, and going along with our challenge, remind us every week, believe in the wonder of giving, and when we're in the world, show that light. Let God shine through. Think of what He would do, and treat everybody with love. Many announcements this week. We have, please come down, join us for dinner down in the annex following this service. And then at 1:15, we'll be preaching by Elder Isaac Brockman Jr. So please come and be blessed with the Word of God this afternoon. The next 2 weeks, there'll be no services here at the East Local. Next week is the start of teen camp, and so we've been asked to join the Temple Lot Local, and so the kids will all be up there. They're going to feed the kids lunch, and then they can get on the bus or however they're going to get there. But no services here next week. The preacher next Sunday morning at the Temple Lot is Priest D.A. Vogel. In the evening is Elder Mark Hill. Teen camp is the 21st through the 26th. And Missouri Reunion, the week following that, is the Missouri Reunion at the Temple Lot. And so that's why no services here. So please attend the 26th through the 28th. Women's department is still selling trash bags. I'm sure Belinda is still taking donations for the canteen. So if you have any money donations, she will go and purchase the items for the canteen. So please give those to Belinda. Bible study today, Temple Lot at 4 p.m. Let's see. Remember everybody on the prayer list? Yes. Uh-huh. Nobody's told me yet, but it's probably... Okay. The 25th, it would be. Okay. 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 Scripture Adventure Theme Camp here, East Local. It's probably 9 to noon. Thursday the 25th, they're on the website. There is information. So kids 5 to 12, please attend. Always a good time. So please do that. Anything else? Please remember our brother Mike that was administered to today, that his procedure Tuesday. Please lift him up in your prayers. Yes?
Could I mention Kathy Clark's name? She is not doing well at all.
Okay. Our sister Kathy Clark, she had got an infection, and so please lift her up in prayers as her chemo that zaps her body, and that the Lord might bless her and comfort and strengthen her. Anything else?
Wednesday night.
It's normally worship and song the third Wednesday, but it's not. It'll be prayer service here at the East Local, and it's because they did the first week. They did on the 4th of July. They did like a worship and song, so they kind of flipped that. So this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Is prayer and testimony service here at the East Local. So any other announcements? Okay, please join us downstairs for dinner after this, and we're going to close with 2:40. So 2:40, when you find your place, please rise.
My everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close.
Will you bow with me in prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful day that we had to worship in your house. We thank you for the message that was brought to us. I ask that we might take these things, that we might remember these scriptures that were brought to us, and that we